Hebrews chapter number 10, look at verse number 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Great recompense of reward. Tell your neighbor, great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. Great recompense of reward. Confidence is a word for faith. So we're going to talk about faith tonight. I was just praying and it came up in my spirit. Just feed their faith. Feed their faith. Feed their life of faith. Their decisions to walk by faith. And so we're going to do that. Cast not away your confidence. That's a word for faith. If you look up faith, it's translated persuasion sometimes. Confidence, it's translated being sure, being certain. There's different words used in the New Testament. And so faith means you're certain. Faith means you're sure. Faith means you're confident. And then acting in accordance with that, including confession. But cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. You know, people throw it away too quickly, and this verse tells us why. They give up. They quit. They don't endure whenever the thoughts of fear or thoughts that it didn't work out or God didn't hear me or something. When those thoughts come, whenever those attacks come, remember the Bible said in Jude, it said, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Why would we have to contend for it if nothing was coming to strip it away from us? We endure all sorts of assaults against our faith constantly. And Satan's not really after you as much as he's after your faith. And he said, don't cast it away. Don't cast it away. If you knew the value of it, you'd hold fast to it and wouldn't let it slip. And you wouldn't give up so quick. You wouldn't stop confessing it so quick. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. It has great recompense of reward. And when you know that, you'll hold it fast. Remember the Bible said, hold fast to the confession of your faith without wavering. Why? Because he is faithful. Faithful. I mean, you can take this to the bank. You know what I'm talking about? He is faithful who has promised. Woo, glory. I done that and I preached myself happy already. Amen. He's faithful. Praise God. And if you know that, you won't cast it aside so fast, but you'll fight tooth and nail to hold fast to your faith. Amen. But why would God have told us to hold fast to these things? Hold fast, cast not away your confidence. That means hold it fast. Hold fast to confession of your faith. Why would he have told us to do that if there wasn't something trying to strip it away from us? Amen. And so you'll encounter opposition when you go to walk by faith in an area of a promise from God's word. You'll encounter doubts. Somebody came to me in healing school one time and said, I must be doing something wrong. Ever since I believe I've received, ever since I've done that, all hell's broke loose of doubts against my mind. I said, and they said, tell me what I'm doing wrong. I said, oh, you're doing something right. Yeah. I said, welcome to Faith 101. Yeah. 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 Amen. That's just par for the course, walking by faith. Yeah. There's an attack come, thoughts come, doubts, fears. Anxieties, what ifs, thoughts about what if. You know what I'm talking about. And so we're going to have to decide that once we've said we believe we received, we're going to have to decide that that is a decision we have made and we will not turn away from it. We're going to stand in faith and not stumble, so to speak. Not waver, not give up. Go over to Hebrews. Well, you're in Hebrews. Go back to the fifth chapter, I believe it is. Let's see here. Sixth chapter. Hebrews 6 chapter, verse 12. That you be not slothful. Be not slothful. We have another word for slothful. It's called lazy. You know, you can be lazy. You can be a workaholic in the flesh, but be lazy spiritually. And I think it's probably more work to walk by faith than it is just work hard and dig ditches. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. Yes,
I'm all for good work. I don't have any problem with good hard work. But right on the other hand, you can be a workaholic in the flesh and be lazy spiritually, and spiritual forces will win out over all your efforts in the flesh. So be not slothful, talking about in faith, and you can see that from the rest of the verse, but followers, or the margin says imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now notice there's a companion that you need to bring along with your faith. It's called patience. Now in the Bible, patience doesn't mean sitting and twiddling your thumbs and just waiting for God to do something. If you look it up, it means perseverance. Perseverance. Or the quality of being constant. Praise God. Anybody interested? You know, anybody can believe God for an hour, a day. We've got a lot of starters in life in a lot of different areas. People start out doing a project, start out with, you know, to get an education, start out to get, you know, to start a business or something. I mean, you know, start off losing weight and start. We got a lot of starters in life. But there's no prize at the starting line. The prizes are at the finish line. That's where this recompense of reward is. And so you got to take more than one step to get across the finish line. The fourth chapter of Romans, the 12th verse, talks about we walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. You can step out and believe you receive, but how about continuing to walk by faith? Not just take a step by faith, but walk. Nobody is considered walking if they took one step. It just is called taking a step. Walking means over and over. You take a step, you take a step, you take a step, you take a step. Tomorrow you're still doing the same thing, and next week you're still doing the same thing. And you endure. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, you know, not every flower in the spring is a fruit in the fall. You know where I learned that? I think right now 7, if I counted right. 8, I have 7 apple trees on the property. And some of them, I got one there that just bloomed like crazy. I'm like, oh, Sookie, come this fall, I'm going to be eating me some golden delicious apples. And that fake tree doesn't have a single apple on it. I mean, I've been looking, turning over leaves, looking for, you know, because by now they're supposed to be at least that big, you know. Some of them, I got other trees, they're about that big already. Well, somebody said, why is that? I don't know. I guess I don't have enough pollinators on the property or something. Bees, you know, they got to pollinate and all. Well, whatever. But not every flower in the spring is a fruit in the fall. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, I'm saying not everybody that starts out in faith actually perseveres and gets the harvest. Amen. We got a lot of people starting out smelling like a rose, man. They just, I mean, you like that flower in the spring? You smell, oh, man, that smells good. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I stopped preaching and going to meddling now, haven't I? I mean, to really succeed in the life of faith, you got to have some grit and some grunt, and you got to just endure some things. And whenever your emotions don't feel like believing God, and your feelings don't feel like believing God, and somebody's mad at you, and rather than go forward, it's going backwards. You know what I'm talking about? And the devil's breathing the hot breath of unbelief down your neck. And your wife says, curse God and die. Remember Job? People are turning against you. Your boss fires you. It takes some real faith and some real grit. Like, remember the John Wayne movie, True Grit? You remember that one? One of my favorites. It takes some real grit just to believe God. Whenever everybody around you is afraid, everybody's talking unbelief, talking sickness, talking failure, talking lack, talking all kinds of stuff. You're going to have to believe God and just stay in faith. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, James 1, 6 through 8 says, not wavering. Let not the man who wavers think he'll receive anything of the Lord. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Wavering gives the devil the opportunity to tempt you to cast away your confidence and throw in the towel. When you find yourself, how many of you know, once you've said, I believe I've received, any of this, I don't know. That needs to be, we need to stop that. How many times have we started out and got to that place where we started wavering and then the devil came and said, well, you know, it's always been this way. It'll never change for you. And so you sort of accept it and get silent.
Yeah, there it is.
Somebody said, do you believe in God? You would probably still say, yeah, but you got quiet now. You're not saying it anymore. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Praise God for the word that teaches us to not do that. What did God say to you? What did the word say to you? What has he spoken to your heart? Amen. Well, hold it fast. Don't give it up. Now, in Hebrews 6:12 there it says, in faith and patience inherit the promises. The patience, like I said, means persistence or the quality of being constant. Now, what do I mean on constant? I'm talking about under pressure or under opposition. You understand what I'm talking about? Staying the same as you were when you said, I believe I got it. I'm talking about the joy that you had at the beginning, you still have now. You're still excited. Like somebody said, like whenever a member, John the Baptist's mother, or actually Mary, went to visit John the Baptist's mother, and she was carrying Jesus. Remember, whenever she met Mary met, what was her name? Elizabeth. John, and she began to prophesy. John in her womb, in Elizabeth's womb, kicked. You remember that? And somebody said one time, is your baby still kicking? It said that he kicked in his mother's womb, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Wow. Praise God. Babies in the womb can be filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're probably sensing the presence of God, just like John sensed Jesus' presence there. But the point I'm making is your baby still kicking? Are you still full and excited, just as excited about it as when you started out? Amen. Tribulation hasn't changed you. Test hasn't changed you. Doubt hasn't changed you. Evidence to the contrary hasn't changed you. Let's grow up and put on our big boy pants and really be people of faith. Well, some of you didn't like that. How about the back section back there? Hallelujah. Let's get our thumb out of our mouth and really be Spirit of Faith Family Church. Hallelujah. Remember Psalm 112:7-8. He said, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I'll not be afraid of evil tidings. My heart is established. I'll not be afraid until I see my desire upon my enemies. I mean, there's something about being fixed. We talk about taking a stand. What does it mean to take a stand? It means to be fixed or not change what we believe because something came up. Amen. Now, why would the Bible talk about things like this? Why would it talk about faith and patience? Because there's going to be time pass. Now, you if you hear that wrong and don't have the teaching of the word on this, you'll think I'm saying God doesn't always hear you and respond instantly. I didn't say that. I said he. In fact, we'll see some things as we go here, but I'm saying you'll believe you'll receive when you pray. God moves, he begins to move instantly. But you won't always see it immediately. Some people have the idea that if they were perfect in faith, they would always see it instantly. Okay, well, Jesus wasn't perfect in faith then. No, he was. But he didn't always see it immediately. Now, Pastor, what are you talking about? Remember the fig tree he cursed? And he used that as an illustration of faith. Remember, somebody said, well, you know, how did he do that? Well, he said, because remember they said later, the fig tree you cursed withered away. He said, have faith in God. In other words, that's how I did that. But you have faith in God too. Have faith in God. But you read the whole story. Whenever he cursed the fig tree, they walked away, and it was a full 24 hours later that they walked back past it when Peter said, the fig tree you curse is withered away. Now, if that had happened the very second he said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter, Peter wouldn't have called it to remembrance 24 hours later. He would have said right the moment Jesus said, look at the fig tree you cursed. Right there, just the leaves just went like that, just instantly. But it didn't do that. I said, it didn't do that. Was Jesus perfect in faith? Sure he was. So some time passed before you could see anything. Does that mean nothing started immediately? Absolutely not. It made it clear in that passage. He said, the fig tree, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots.
Yes, from the roots. Hallelujah.
It started in the roots.
Yes.
Praise God. I get more high preaching faith than I do anything else. I'm standing up, but I'm kind of tipsy. Hallelujah. It dried up from the roots. Where are the roots? Where you can't see. I said, where you can't see. It always starts instantly in the unseen realm. Did you get that? Where you can't see. Even though you can't see it, if you release your faith, it'll start instantly.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so why would the Bible say through faith and patience or faith and endurance? If it was always instantly, if you always instantly saw it, you wouldn't have to endure, would you? No, you wouldn't have to endure at all. But the very fact that the Bible teaches persistence indicates you're going to experience opposition. There'll be things that you see that doesn't look like it's so. Amen. Satan will seek to hinder and oppose you. Isn't that right? But see, this implies faith and patience. And this is only one of many verses. The word patience is all through the New Testament. It means persistence. And it oftentimes is accompanying faith. But it implies time passing. But the delay's not from God. We're going to see some things in a minute that will help you understand that. He's not, well, in fact, let's just go right there. Go to 2 Peter, the third chapter, verse number 9. Look what it says here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. Amen. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, there's a whole gamut of truth there about his slackness. One thing is, because the context here is his return, coming again. He's not slack concerning what he said that he's coming again. He is coming again. But that's true about everything that he has promised. And there's many other verses that prove that out. And so we're using this to get some understanding of the character and nature of God. He's not slack concerning anything he promises. Amen. I want you to notice that that word slackness, if you look it up, it means one that's negligent of their duties. You know, just they're just not doing what they should be doing. You know, so whenever it says God's not slack concerning his promises, then what that means is any delay in you seeing what you see, a promise, you see something in God's word, you see your rights and privileges, you see your in Christ inheritance. You know, this by the New Testament is your inheritance. When you became a child of God, just like a natural child has an inheritance from their father, you have an inheritance from your Father God. And that inheritance is right now. Everything's right. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. They're yes right now. Amen means so be it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so then there's the verse that talks about now is the accepted time. And today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Anything covered in salvation. Salvation is a big word. It's not just a ticket to heaven. It's also translated heal. The very same word translated salvation is translated heal. And there's many things we've been saved from. But salvation is, the day of salvation is right now. It's not tomorrow. It's not when you see the healing manifested or see something manifested. It's right now. So whenever he says, I have redeemed you from the curse of the law, that's right now. You are redeemed from that. Not when you see the healing manifest or something manifest. You are right now redeemed from sickness and disease. And so he's not slack concerning that. So any delay is not from him. You understand what I'm talking about? He's not delaying it. It's our exercise of faith and patience in the presence of this opposition that keeps us victorious over these delays. Amen. You know, you have to enforce your own victory. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hey, I mean, the idea of just passively waiting for something to happen is a wrong idea. You have to enforce it with the force of faith. Faith is a spiritual force. Amen. That causes it to come to pass. Now, people have trouble with this, but like take, for example, Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say, and not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. So something brought that to pass. He'll have whatsoever he saith. In other words, it'll come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. Come to pass. The Greek word's genomahi. And it means to cause to happen or cause to be. Something caused that to happen. But I don't mean to, you could split theological hairs about this, but the power of God is not even mentioned in that verse. What is mentioned? Your faith. There's a force to faith. I said, there's a force to faith. Faith is a spiritual force. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. And the kind we have is the God kind. Jesus said, have the God kind of faith. That's what the Greek actually says. Have faith in God there, Mark 11:22. Have the faith of God, the God kind of faith. Hallelujah. And he said, let there be, and it was. Now, you're not going to create planets. That's not your realm of authority. But where is your realm of authority? Start speaking in those realms of authority, and you will have what you say. He didn't say you'll see it tomorrow, but there'll be a force release that starts moving instantly and beginning causing it to come to pass. There's been things we've stood for, Pastor Debbie and I've stood for over periods of time, and it took periods of time. Now, it didn't take God time at all. He began to work the moment we began to speak. But, you know, like take, for example, financial things. Those things, the Bible said, give and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men shall give into your bosom. You realize the money we need doesn't come from heaven. It's already down here. And it's going to come through the hands of men, whether it be a business deal, whether it be employment, whether it be just somebody blessing us or however. It's going to come through the economy down here. And if you've not paid attention lately, Satan likes to control that. He would rather that money be in the hands of wicked people rather than the righteous. That's why righteous people need to set up a system called a business or something to create a large sucking sound out of the economy of this world, bringing it into the kingdom of God. If you've never been to a church like this, some of these things are going to make your hair go back and go, whoa, wait. Well, it doesn't belong to the world. The Bible said he created it for his man, Adam. He didn't create it for the wicked. He never intended Satan to have control of all this stuff. But it comes through the hands of men. So either through business deals or transactions or something. I don't know about you. I found purchasing things. Lands and real estate and so forth. There's a lot of times opposition to that. Satan stirs people up, tries to keep it out of your hands. You got to have faith. and patience. In other words, you got to keep saying, no, no, I've said it's, I claimed it. God said it's mine. You know, if it's on the market for sale, something. Praise the Lord. And just stand your ground. Stand your ground. Don't quit. Keep taking steps. Praise the Lord. And it'll all come to pass. According to Jesus, there's a force to faith that will cause it to come to pass. I love this. Hallelujah. And so any delays are not on God's side. Patience is also a companion force of faith. You understand? Amen. So if you've got a spirit of faith, the Bible talks about we having the same spirit of faith. If you've got a spirit of faith, one of the characteristics of that is tenacity. I mean, you're like a bulldog with a bone. You're the same yesterday, today, and for you're like God. Same yesterday and for. I mean, you're saying the same thing tomorrow. You're saying the same thing next week. And if it takes till next year, you're still saying the same thing. Some of these things in the economic realm sometimes get opposed because anytime men are involved, then there's an opportunity for Satan to work against that. Because he'll try to influence those people, you know, against what God's saying is yours. Amen. And so this companion force has to be brought along with it. And you're just tenacious. You have no quitting sense. Amen. I mean, quitting's not a part of your DNA. You're just radical. You're just crazy. I mean, you don't take no for answers. You don't know for an answer. Praise God, I'm going to have a sound mind right now. I'm not going to, you know, when the devil's trying to make your mind go squirrely, you say, no, Jesus, the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And when your mind wants to run wild on tangents and, you know, imaginations that rule over reality and you start losing your mind again, you grab it again and you say, you get back here in my patience. I'm possessing my soul.
Amen.
I take control of my thought life. I say, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound. And if you got to do that every minute, you know, until you go back to sleep at night, just don't have any quitting sense. You just keep at it rather than cry and say, this isn't worth it. All the pressure against me to quit and give up and to walk in the flesh.
Come on.
I'm preaching pretty good tonight. Am I doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Tell them. She chickened out. I don't know. Oh, man. We have to replace the front row. Just kidding. No, we like her up here. Hallelujah. Anybody ever had to endure on anything? Anybody ever had the devil yakety-yak-yak yak, and you kick it out? Yakety-yak-yak. Yak, you kick it out. Yakety-yak-yak. Yak. You just got to persist. The devil is a persistent cuss, but you got more persistence than he does. You just keep on holding fast to your confession and don't let go of it. We live in a day of everything's fast, you know, fast food, instant messaging, drive-through windows, microwaves, and all kinds of stuff. Amen. That's fine in the natural, but if things in the spirit don't show up fast like that, you got to realize that this is not a microwave here. I mean, I'm living by faith. I'm not going to push a button for 3 minutes. This is the way I live. Here I stand and I'm not moving. It will be according to what I say. It'll be like I say. It'll be like I say. It'll be like I say. It's not going to be the way they say. It's going to be the way I say. You'll have what you say. He didn't say you'll have what they say. You'll have what you say. Let everybody get in doubt. I'm going to stay in faith. Hallelujah. And so when it comes to the natural, we've kind of got, you know, an instant mentality about so many things. But when it comes to walking by faith, we've got to guard against just the instantaneous thought all the time. Yes, God instantly hears, and we know that if he hears, we know we have. But see, it doesn't always show up in the natural realm or the seen realm. Instantly, I mean. Amen. And if you don't know how to endure and stand on God's word and not give up, believing it'll come to pass, then you won't see much. You just got to learn to do that. Amen. Somebody said one time, there's always a stretch of water you got to walk on and some wind and waves that you've got to ignore before you get to Jesus where your miracle is that you need. I like that. Remember Peter? To get to Jesus, he had to endure walking on the water, and he actually did it for a while. He ignored the wind and the waves, you know, and then he actually got his attention on the wind and the waves. But listen, that's the way every walk of faith is. There's always a stretch of water you got to walk on, and there's always some things you got to ignore. Tell your neighbor, ignore is a good word. Amen. Don't ignore mama, but you ignore the devil. You know what I'm talking about? All the young people said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know why people say, I've tried that faith business and it doesn't work? You know why people say that? Because the enemy opposed them and they didn't persist. They thought, you know, they thought faith is just like, you know, a cakewalk or something. You know what I'm talking about? Just easy. Any old panty-wasted Christian can do that. Come on now. I know I'm keeping you awake, but you need to stay awake tonight. Amen. You got to have some real brawn to you. I know that's not ladylike, but when it comes to faith, you just got. Listen, I've met some grandmas that have more oomph to their faith than some of these muscle guys, you know. Don't mess with grandma. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, they didn't try the word. It tried them. And they flunked. Oh, is that in the word? Yes, Psalm 105:19. Till the time that his word came, talking about Joseph that had that dream about his brothers bound down, mother and father bound down, and he'd be a ruler. Till the time that his words came, Psalm 105:19, the word of the Lord tried him. People say, I tried the word. No, you didn't. It tried you and you flunked.
That's right.
I tried that faith business and it didn't work. No, it tried you and you flunked. You don't try faith, you do it. The Bible said by faith that the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea as on dry land, which the Egyptians assaying, that's another word for trying to do, were drowned. If you do it, you get to walk through. If you try it, you're going to drown.
Hey, come on now.
We don't try this. We do it. And we do it today. We do it tomorrow. We do it next week. Faith don't have any quitting sense, and faith doesn't believe in failures. Well, I had a faith failure. No, you failed. Faith never failed. God's word didn't fail. God was not unfaithful. You just quit. Amen. Now, sometimes the things that is hindering or delaying manifestation isn't the devil at all. I'll share this. It's simply us needing to get some more dross out of our faith. You know, the Bible talks about faith being tried like gold. That's faith that's precious. There in 1 Peter. I don't think Peter knew, I mean, by revelation, he was inspired to write that, but gold is the best conductor, they say, best conductor of electricity that there is. Pure. And the more pure it is, the better it conducts electricity. Well, Peter didn't know that in his mind, but the Holy Ghost did. When he said, faith that is tried in the fire is precious. And that'll, what he's saying is, get the dross out of your faith, and it'll conduct the power better. Let me tell you, the best place to get the dross out of your faith, just jumping in the fire. Say, so here goes, I'm going to believe God. Your flesh doesn't like jumping in faith projects. But boy, your spirit will, the author and the finisher of your faith will jump right in there with you, and he'll say, okay, now here's how you do this. Hallelujah. And he'll say, okay, make this adjustment. Amen. Get the dross out of your faith here. You'll be a better conductor of God's power if you don't entertain those thoughts. Answer those thoughts. And he'll keep walking with you. And get all those things out. As you take your stand, light will come. More light will come about how to walk by faith. And you'll make those adjustments and you'll move more and more towards victory. And if you'll stick with it and stick with him, stick with the author and finisher of your faith, he'll keep making and showing you those adjustments and help you make those changes and cleanse your mind and cleanse your faith with the washing of the water of the word and get you thinking right, because you'll take on the enemy's thoughts. Somebody will come to work and say something and then you'll say, oh, well, I guess it's not going to work. Amen. I was believing for a promotion to management, and I guess it's not going to work because somebody said I'm not qualified.
Well, come on.
Amen. And the Lord will wash those things out, and get your mind renewed, get your faith all washed clean, and more you'll conduct God's power. Amen. A big part of him developing his plan for us is developing us. Developing us in faith. Some things are delayed because of the faith that we have is not a good conductor of the power of God. So when I said earlier, God always responds instantly, but sometimes it might be a season of time till you see it. It usually is a season of time, but some things can make that season longer. Just because we entertain the thoughts of the enemy for a week at a time, you know. And we're saying it, but we really don't down in here believe it. So it delays the whole thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever I have, so don't feel bad if it's you, taken a long time to decide, that's it. Now I'm going to believe God to stop all this wavering stuff. Anybody ever had to do that? All of us got to get to that point. Praise God, you can do it. Amen. So just jump right on in a faith project. Let him jump in there with you. And in that fire, there'll be a lot of things, get a lot of dross out of your faith. Hallelujah. And if you think right about these things, you'll be joyful in the middle of it all. Amen. Right in the middle of all the devil hounding you with unbelief and you learning to cast those thoughts down and so forth and so on. You'll be joyful right in the middle of it all. And you'll see these things as opportunities to learn. You know, you can go to school and learn whatever, programming, computers, engineering, whatever. You can learn, but you don't know it like the guy who goes there and then he goes and does it as an apprentice. Now he knows something about it. You know, you can go to classes and learn about marriage. You might even go to Bible classes and learn about marriage, but you really don't know it until you've been married to that big, big ugly for a while, you know. Leaves his stinky socks on the floor. His idiosyncrasies. Leaves his toothbrush laying on the counter, and it's touching the counter. You're going to learn some things about walking in love. And it's not going to be textbook knowledge. Now it's going to be experiential. Now you know what it's like to bite your tongue. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Walk in the other room and... Glory to God. So just go ahead and jump on into some faith projects. You won't learn near as well coming to church as you will jumping in the middle of them. I'm telling you, things that are said in church will come back to you all the time. I mean, like, oh, I remember that sermon. Where's that CD? Honey, where's that CD? Get that one out. I need that one right now. I thought I knew that, but oh, Jesus, now I know what he's talking about. I thought I knew what he's talking about. I didn't know squat. Now I really, oh, where's that CD? Now I need that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Go to James 1:4 and we'll begin to commence to think about starting to end. I'm having way too much fun to end right now. James chapter number 1, you know, verse number 1, just starts out talking. Verse number 1, he said, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. James 1, he basically says, hi, I'm James. You're the 12 tribes. Hey, cheer up. When you encounter tests and trials, cheer up. You know, nobody that's in faith and patience but sad, they ain't doing it right. You can get a textbook knowledge of faith and you and okay, I believe I receive and I'm enduring, but you're no fun to be around. And everybody that does get around you, they find out about your test and your trial. You ain't doing it right. It's not persistence while you're mad at everybody and mean to everybody and hard to get along with and grumpy. Okay, let's keep on reading. In case you think he's not talking about persistence, let's keep on reading. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience or perseverance. But let patience or perseverance have her perfect work. One translation says is perfective work. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Oh, Jesus. We're going to close the service in a minute and we're going to have phase 2 in another room because I can't hardly stand quitting right now.
Keep going.
Glory. If you want to see, notice, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So he's talking about persevering in faith, but he's talking about doing it with joy. You know how you get across the finish line? Paul said, I'm going to finish my course with joy. Because to stand and persevere, you need strength, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Woo! Glory be to God. And I'm going to get across my finish line, and my lip's not going to be dragging. I'm not going to be hitting every bump on the road. I'm going to be with joy finishing my course. Joy greases the skids that your faith moves forward on. And patience isn't a drag. Joy greases patience and you, woo! I mean, you're not grinding on your way to faith. I mean, you're sliding like you're skiing. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise God. Enduring in faith. Hallelujah. If you think right about these things, you'll count it all joy when you encounter tests and trials. Because here's another opportunity to get the dross out of my faith. Here's another opportunity to prove the Word of God's true. Here's another opportunity to learn about how to walk by faith. Don't shrink from these things. Jump into them. Believe in God. Here's another chance to believe God. I've learned much more about believing God by doing it than I ever have in church. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying don't go to church because you need to hear what you're hearing tonight. But you really learn it. You know what I'm talking about? By doing it. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, faith works. But I'm wrapping this up. Let patience have its perfect work, verse 4, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, what is the work of persevering? What is the perfect work that persevering works in us? It's more than we have time for tonight, but I'll just say this. It's growing up. It's growing up spiritually. Developing. Amen. It gives you the opportunity to grow in every area. Grow in faith, grow in perseverance, grow in love. Because how many of you ever noticed whenever you're experiencing this harassment, yakety, yak, yak, it's easy to get irritable. You know how I learned that? By being around, no, not around you. By going through it. When the devil's yakety yak yak, I tend to get grumpy. If I let the devil pull me into that, I get grumpy with people. because the devil wants me to miss the mark. He's the troublemaker, but I'm accusing other people of being the troublemaker. Don't fall for it. Amen. Praise God. So you get that kind of dross out. You get all the kinks out and all the imperfections out. Hey, amen. How many of you know the flesh doesn't like this process? But if you hold fast, the flesh will like the results. Perfect and entire, wanting, or that's another word for lacking, nothing. That sounds like cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. There's a great reward attached to walking by faith and just not quitting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, glory be to God. That's why we're instructed here to count it all joy in this process, while this process is being worked out in us. Amen. We know we're going to come out the other side lacking nothing. So if things are taking time, just don't give up on the process. Because while he's working for you, he's working in you. It's he that works in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. He's got to do a work in you to do a work for you. I don't know how you can stand there and look at me with that tone of voice on your face. He's working for me. But he's working in me while he's working for me. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll reap if we don't quit. But while he's working for us, he's got to work on us and work in us. And that is the perfecting of our faith. While he's doing that, we are to enjoy the process. Praise God. Did you get anything out of the word tonight? Thank God for the word. Tell your neighbor, I'm a believer. And not a doubter. And I don't quit. Here's something. One reason people quit is they get despondent. And the reason they get despondent is because they're not taking steps. If you're believing God for something and you get a little prompting, take the step. Without taking steps, you won't progress. And therefore, you don't see progress. You get discouraged. Sometimes those things are our own doing. We got a prompting to do this. Well, how's that connected to what I'm believing for? Oh, thou all-knowing one who knows all things, ask God. You know, just for example, go to that meeting. You know what I'm talking about? Or sow that seed. Or you just don't know what God's working by just the prompting. And so, can you see how things can be delayed because we're not taking steps? We're not, you know, I'll get unction on certain things I'll do. I'll get unction to do research on certain things. And just, you know, my own study, whether it be Google or somewhere, figuring something out. And come to find out, the information I get helps me a lot on a decision I needed to make. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Many of the things that you believe that you're believing God for will come to pass in stages and in phases. You understand? And so you got to be willing to take steps. The Bible talks about first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. What is that? That's progression. That's progressive. And that's the way things come to pass. Don't get the idea that you just believe you receive, and always there's an explosion, boom, and there it is. And that might happen, but most of the time it probably won't. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Does the farmer that plants corn out here, does he get the planter and line it up, put the seed in the planter, and then his friends are out there and said, he gives them each a hard hat and ear muffs. Or God, whatever you call those, ear protection, and say, I'm getting ready to plant seed now. Now, when I start rolling it out, you're going to hear these boom, boom, boom coming out of the ground and full ears of corn. And no, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn of the ear. Everything's progressive in the kingdom of God. It talks about going from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. It talks about, you know, the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. Things are progressive. But if you quit, stop coming to church, don't hear about faith, and you'll sabotage that phase that you're in. Hallelujah.